Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can Nick Chubb save the season? 216-474-0092. Yeah?
Save the season, Nick Chubb.
That's a strong sentence, but
man.
Let's just call it like it is, man.
If we're getting Nick Chubb not losing a step, is the best running back in football. And now, I mean, this year with Christian McCaffrey injured, like, who's the best running back in football? Like, all right, Nick Chubb. If we can get back to being Nick Chubb, I mean, you absolutely have your chance. Derrick Henry was fantastic the other night. So if he's best running back in football, I think it substantially changes your setup, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're a different football team, especially if Deshaun Watson is as confident as he looked in the last game for most of that game. You still have kind of an issue with, are we out of the shotgun? Are we back under center? Do you think that's worth exploring, right?
So are you saying, can Nick Chubb save Deshaun Watson's tenure here?
I think they can work together. I mean, I don't want to make it seem like Deshaun can't do it if he doesn't have Nick Chubb, because I don't know that Nick Chubb is going to be 100%.
It seems to be making it a one-dimensional offense.
I don't want to make it look hopeless, right? I think David Njoku coming back, you can make the argument that's going to be bigger.
That's
right,
going to be a huge boost,
right?
When he comes back. I don't know when, but when he comes back, it's going to be a huge boost. Kevin Stefanski, I think, to speak at noon today. Noon? I think is when
Looking
he's supposed to speak.
For my PR email, but
my
I believe
sheet
it is
right here. Yeah, today at noon. Then I have open locker room at 12:45. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the preview show, it's going to be Rodney McLeod. He'll be joining me. So we already talked to Rodney for an hour, and I'm going to talk to Rodney for about 15 solid more minutes.
I noticed, maybe it's just social media, and we know that can be a scary place, but oftentimes we get great feedback by a lot of people, and it gives us pretty good perspective on whether they think we missed the mark or whether we're on it, whether they disagree with us. Man, the responses to the 92.3 The Fan X account after Rodney McLeod, I was kind of blown away. And it just shows you where the frustration is of the fan base. Like, I thought he was giving incredible perspective. I thought he was telling it like it was. I thought you could read between the lines. And remember, this is somebody who is retiring after this year. I think he's made it perfectly known that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, it's a known thing. This is his last season.
So he's speaking a little more freely, but he's still, he can't, you know, he's got teammates. He's got coaches. Like, he can't throw specific dudes under the bus.
No.
But you could read between the lines on some things. And I thought it was incredible. I thought yesterday, by far, was his best appearance. And all I saw were the responses. And I'm like, man, you guys are so down.
I didn't see the responses.
So
what were the responses? The one responses I saw I got a little worked up about was the DeJuan Jones responses. Because everybody was just calling him fatty, fatty, boomba laddie. And I don't think he's overweight. I think that if he were overweight, I think he looks just as big as he did last year. I think he's injured. If he's going to be out there, he opens himself up to criticism. So, yeah, he's going to be criticized.
Yeah,
he's out there. If he can't get in front of somebody, like, yeah, it's going to happen.
But I think most of what I saw was, we're tired of the talk. I'm like, well, we're having him on every week. So he's going to talk.
Well, he's a talk show host for a week.
And yes, that's what he's doing.
For a day a week.
Yeah, you guys notice. He's in studio. He's alongside of us. It's not, hey, we're just going to talk to him for a few minutes and then move on. And so we are inviting him to talk because we want to know, what was it like on the sidelines? What was it like in the locker room this week? How is Stefanski as a leader? What did you think of this call? What was going through your mind here? And we're going over all that, and people are like, well, I'm sick and tired of the talk. And I'm
like, there is something missing, though, Anthony. That's why I keep getting all worked up about, like, well, maybe. And I'm trying to remain focused on, hey, it's been – has it been a calendar year? Oh, it's definitely – it's been over a calendar year since Nick Chubb has played.
It was week two.
Yeah, wow. It was week two. Wow. So it's been over a calendar year since Nick Chubb has played. And I'm trying to hold back and be realistic about it, but I'm also going, man, something's missing. Because I can't say – well, they don't have their leader, and they're waiting for somebody to make plays. They meant to the playoffs last year. So that ain't the case. But something's missing here. Something is off about them. And if you want to sit there and yell at me about Joe Flacco like some people did, then fine. Go right on ahead. I don't care. Go ahead and yell at me. Maybe that's the reason. I'm not sure. But there's something missing that I'm hoping to get back with Nick Chubb, or I'm hoping to get back with David Njoku to be healthy or something. Because it just doesn't seem to be right. And they keep saying they're going to get the thing fixed. And it's like, man, you guys only have a little bit of time, man. You guys go to 1-4. That's it. That is it. And then when I'm telling people what I told people, which you don't like it, but it was the truth. And some people just accepted the truth. If he plays like that and they just lose games, he's going anywhere. So you're not even going to be thrilled by sitting Deshaun Watson. That ain't going to happen. They'll figure out other ways to make themselves a better football team with Deshaun Watson if he continues the way continues to play the way he did against Las Vegas on Sunday.
And I know we got other things to talk about.
Yeah.
But you did notice that I kind of felt, and you know, we get accused of this all the time. We know this gets tribal. We know people have chosen their side, whether they're pro Watson or against him, and there's like no in between. Me and you, and maybe this isn't great sports talk radio, me and you have been in between. Especially last week, where like he played well.
If we did the opposite, I think it'd be terrible. And I have one glaring example that I cannot bring up on the air. That you know what it is and I know what it is, because I have to be able to see facts. And if he played well, I got to be able to say he played well. If he played poorly, obviously it'd be easy to say so, because he's played poorly for the most part here.
Well.
But damn it, we got to be honest
Some
with everybody.
People that have looked at the tape said he played well. PFF certainly graded him out well in that game. I think he was one of the highest rated quarterbacks of the week. EPA, which doesn't take into consideration the drops and the flags and stuff like that, they didn't think he played that well. But more people who watched the film thought he played well, and I'm just clearly sensing that there is a faction of the fan base, and it's not a small one.
They don't want their time wasted.
That they feel like, well, if we're not winning games, it doesn't really matter how he plays.
It's
like,
true.
The quickest way to get out of this is for him to get benched. And I'm saying, no, the quickest way out of this, and I can't stress this enough, Kenny, is for him to play like he played last week. Because if he plays like he played last week, it's going to solve a lot of the Browns' issues. Not all of them, as we saw, because they still lost that game. But if he can get more and more confident every week, now you throw Njoku into it.
Yeah.
Now your offensive line maybe can get a step towards getting healthier.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. Is it like he has to play and they have to win? I can't just go back to Houston. I can't just go back to, hey, if he plays like 2020 Houston, they were still terrible in 2020 Houston. They were a four-win team. The wheels came off.
Yeah.
And he was throwing for 5,000 yards or whatever the hell it was that year. So if you keep bringing up stats and good play, which, yeah, I hope he plays well too, because I don't want to have to sit there and liquidate all the assets. But I still have another problem that I have to solve, where how is it that this guy, if they were to play poorly and lose, but he were to play well, how is it in two places he's been now that he could play well and they have a bad record? So I think a lot of people don't want to answer that question. They just don't want their time wasted. So it's easier for them to stomach losing if also the quarterback plays poorly. If the quarterback plays poorly, then it's one step closer to getting rid of him, and then it's one step closer to starting anew with somebody who is in college right now, or for all we know, somebody who's a freshman in college right now. Like, that's where people are at. And to some level, I can sympathize. You went for the gusto. You're not getting the gusto. You want to go back to it. Because having the old conversations about a guy that you drafted is easier to have a conversation about a guy that signed with you for money. All the other reasons that they gave you. Remember, he saw Kevin Stefanski's offense. Oh, he saw this and wanted to sign up for that. No, he signed up with you for money. Well, it's a business transaction. So far, business has been bad. And he could perform at a high level, but if he can't perform at a high level and they can't win, fans don't want any part of that. It's either they win together and he plays well, or they lose together and he plays poorly. They will be stuck in a purgatory if they lose and he plays well, because it's going to take too long for them to replace the players that they have to put around him to put a competitive team out there in the field. And the reason I say that is because I saw what went on in Houston. And what he did in Houston was got them to the same level of where they got last year, wild card round. They won a playoff game with Deshaun Watson. Then they had the game against Kansas City where they up, what, 24? Lost that lead. That was it. Curtains. And then they went 4-12, and that was it for him in Houston. And he was good that last year. So nobody wants their time wasted. So now I have to look for things that maybe aren't realistic. David Njoku being back, is David Njoku going to help me that much? He should be able to help a lot. Nick Chubb being back, should he be able to help me that much? I don't know, man. It's been over a calendar year since he's played. He practices today. He looks strong on all the videotape that I see. We'll find out more as time goes on. They got 3 weeks to put him on the active roster. I can't imagine he'll be on the active roster against Washington.
No, I'm not expecting that.
But at some point, whether is it at home against Cincinnati? Is it home against them?
You heard Rodney yesterday. He's pretty excited about it.
So now I'm feeling like I'm grasping at straws here. You had an entire build that technically started in 2016. And here we are in 2024, 8 years later. You've had two playoff appearances, one win in the playoffs. That is a long time for a Browns fan. And it looked like it was going to get fixed for a minute. And then he got hurt. And then it looked like it was going to get fixed again. But then you couldn't keep that guy because of everything we've said for the last 10, almost 11 months. And here we are again. So he has to play well, and they have to win. That's the only way through this. 216-474-0092. JJ in Cleveland. JJ, hello. Okay, didn't want to talk. Amari Cooper, the conversation about him came yesterday with Albert Breer, whose new spot is on Tuesdays now on Afternoon Drive. Here's Albert Breer speaking about Amari Cooper and the relationship he has with the Browns, where the conversation about Brandon Ayuk might have changed a lot.
Now, the one wild card here, of course, is, you know, the effect that the Brandon Ayuk trade talks had on all this. You know, whether or not that poisoned the well to some degree. You know, you're not in those discussions for Brandon Ayuk if you're not willing to give the guy an extension and you're not willing to give the guy a market extension. That's the part of it that's sort of the wild card. After, you know, Amari Cooper kind of had to fight and claw to try and get some sort of adjustment to his contract, if the Ayuk thing, you know, poisoned the well in any way.
Have we lost our trust in Amari Cooper?
I think it has slipped big time for a lot of fans. Now, against the Giants, even though it was a loss, you saw signs of old Amari. But to see that drop on a confident throw, which was precisely, perfectly accurate, and we know how big of a moment that was in that game. You would have been driving deep into the territory in a one-score game. I mean, if he catches that ball, I think you probably think we're probably going to cap it off with a score, and then here we go. Now it's a different scenario. And he's had a few of these this year, and he doesn't look like the same guy. And then he kind of talked, you know, before he blasted the media last week about their questions and wanting them on camera while they ask their stupid questions, as he referred to it. He also talked about maybe not being in the right mindset for the season. That's tough for fans to hear, man. And so, you know, at a human level, yeah, it's been a weird offseason for him.
So he's lost
your
trust.
He was getting a contract.
I don't think he's lost my trust. He's lost your trust. Like, do you consider...
A little bit, a little bit.
So you, when you talk about a guy losing his trust, your trust, like you can consider him a liability.
Man, he's kind of looked like a liability so far this year. And if people are right in that he didn't even run the right route on the final play, imagine the type of... How that's hamstringing your quarterback.
How did Amari Cooper not run the right route?
I know, but I've seen a few people allude to that just looking at what would be a normal concept down there, getting close to the goal line.
So the conversation about his contract has been that much of a distraction that all of a sudden he doesn't know how to run the right route that he's ran for 10 years?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's that's hard to believe that would cause that. But are we not seeing a different Amari Cooper this year? And it can't just be he got old overnight.
He's frustrated. It very well could be he got old overnight. He is aging. But I can't imagine his frustration with his contract has caused a tremendous drop-off in play. I don't know exactly what we'd be saying to him if the touchdown would have counted. I don't even think this would have been a conversation.
It's a whole different story.
All right, 216-474-0092. Has Amari Cooper lost your trust as a Browns fan? Lyman, I absolutely love it. Monday afternoon. What time is it? 4:08? 4:08 first pitch?
Correct.
Game two of the American League Divisional Series between your Cleveland Guardians and either the Houston Astros or Detroit Tigers. And people are complaining about it. I love it.
So
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm sorry. I hate to I hate to just revel in your misery that you guys will be at work and you can't see it and da-da-da-da-da. I love it so much, and I couldn't be happier. I get to sit there, watch the Guardians before football practice. I mean, it's all coming together, Tone. This is great. This is great.
Sorry, guys. So I saw people fired up about this, and I don't know about you. Some of my favorite memories from baseball postseason, day games. I mean, that is a huge fond memory of mine, just sitting through. They had some great night moments as well. I mean, the 95-97 Indians, they obviously had some amazing moments under the lights. But just day baseball, it means it's a passage of time. Yes. We're in a different season now, and it is so cool. I thought yesterday was awesome.
It is great.
And my wife's like, "You don't even like baseball that much." I'm like, "I do today."
Daytime.
I had it on in the other room.
Daytime postseason baseball is a cat's ass.
And you just knew the significance, the importance of these pitches. Every single meeting with the pitcher, when the manager comes out, like, it just means so much more than getting through the 162 and saying, "We lost. Who cares?" No, there is no who cares now. And every batter, every pitch, whether or not you go to the bullpen, let's get the righty up there. Let's get the lefty up there. Like, it does matter. Now, what does this mean for game two? That is what's awesome about playoff baseball. It's just a different sport than what you see in the regular season. And so now,
couldn't agree more.
Now that we are locked in on Saturday, and I know this college football Saturday, I'm going to be in Akron, but I'm going to be able to catch most of it. And then Monday, it is hopefully we're up 1-0 already. It's going to be a party in this town.
216-474-0092. I couldn't be happier about it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to have a 4 o'clock baseball game. Obviously, I hope they do well. Obviously, I hope they win. I think that's all given. I don't care what time it would be, but obviously, I'm very happy about a 4 o'clock baseball game, for the love of God, on a weekday where I can wake up at 3 a.m. and I can actually watch the game to completion, and more than likely, I'll be able to watch it before most of it before football practice starts. Do we delay football practice?
Well, I had discussed.
I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to talk about youth football.
No, wait a second. Real quick, Owen, what time is practice?
Mine's 6.
Oh, dear.
You could be in the heat of the moment.
You're going to have to come up with a solution.
I'm not the head coach. I'm just an assistant pimp. I ain't no head coach.
I'm not attending football practice on Monday.
Wow.
I will be attending something else in the area that rhymes with shame 2 of the ALDS.
And should we not have football on Monday?
Hopefully you're not at the ER. Now, this is a fix my life now.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully you're not at the ER.
What if you have to
pass the kidney stone at the stadium like Kramer did at Madison Square Garden?
It'll be the first time that I pass something at that stadium.
Wow.
And it won't be the last.
Are you allowed to bring your funnel with you?
I think I can. As long as you put it in a bag.
A clear plastic bag, yeah. You bring your funnel?
You can bring in a lot of stuff into there that people don't realize that you can bring in.
Great.
I was going to say, you know, it's playoff baseball, so the games are going to be longer. No, not necessarily.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Early. Padres game was 2 hours, 9 minutes yesterday. We had a 2-hour, 45-minute game. We had a 2:30 game. I mean, these aren't just going to be longer games, so yeah. Maybe you're in the clear.
Moving nice and quick. I hope, I want them to win. I just hope we can get it in during football or before football. Do I have to not?
I mean, if that game goes to extra innings, you're not getting in the car.
I can't coach. It's my job.
It's not your job. It's a volunteer position.
No, I'm saying this is my job. This is what I'm saying is the job.
You won't be going to football.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Now, you got to have a conversation with the coach.
If your team hasn't figured it out by week 8.
You got it during the break.
Probably.
Can you call the coach?
Let's call him live right now.
I don't like calling him that much.
Can you text him?
I don't like texting him that much.
Can you text him and say, what are we doing about the schedule? on Monday.
Now we're playing the Streetsboro Rockets.
We're playing the Streetsboro Rockets schedule game. I didn't even think about it.
I think everybody's going through this, so you got to figure out your situation. Oh, yeah. You know, everybody's with work. What are you doing with work? Are you
taking a half day?
Yeah, you're taking a half day. It is a home game.
Right.
So the party is going to be on. You know, if you're a season ticket holder, you're going to be down here. If you are buying seats, secondary market, you're coming down here. What are you doing? 4 o'clock. Your kids should be out of school by then. You should be good to go, right? Yeah. But it's gotta be quick. Gotta get down. Gotta get ready. Gotta have your stuff. You gotta be dressed up, ready to go. And not like Mitch. Where they have every hat.
Well,
ready
yeah,
to go.
He has all those hats. He does a hat dance.
Stacks them.
Yeah, I didn't realize this. I might not be able to coach on Monday for practice.
Heath says, I made sure I could see Monday's game, put in a couple hours of PTO to get out of work in the game.
There you go, Heath.
216-474-0092. All right. I didn't even think about
that. Ask these guys what they're going to do.
All right, Dan and Amherst, before you talk about Amari Cooper, what should I do?
Watch the game.
But don't I owe it to the kids to be their coach?
Ain't you the assistant?
I am. But I would say I'm very important.
Well, that's your opinion.
That's what every assistant says.
That's a good point. That's another good point. That's true.
I guess we'll find out at the end of the year.
That's another good point. Yeah,
we found out with Alex Van Pelt and Callie Bronson.
Has cold on the story. Kid's got a cold. Stay home, watch the kid. And guess what happens? The game's on.
Go ahead there, Dan. What were you going to say about Amari Cooper there, bud? Has he lost your trust?
Oh, no. I've coached before, so don't tell me these things. I would say, who's going to replace 1,000 yards? The dude's consistent. There's errors going on, but he still is a 1,000-yard dude. Who's doing it? Judy can, but I don't think anybody else can.
Well, Judy's been. First off, I know we made a big deal about Jerry Jeudy and his conditioning. He's the one who offered it, so I'm more than happy to hear Jerry Jeudy offering the truth about him. It is conditioning. I've been, even with that whole conditioning thing, which he did not need to tell us, I've been happy with the Jerry Jeudy experience so far, Dan. I've been pretty okay with it.
Who's that guy we got from the Jets? Woods? Something like that?
We got Elijah Moore from the... I cannot believe we traded for this guy, and we can't even get the last name right.
I'm in agreement with that, because somebody got rid of him because of he can't do what he says he can do, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been a problem, though, but his dad's starting to talk.
He's never open, and when he's open, the play's over.
His dad says he's open.
Disagrees.
Dan, thank you very much for the call.
His dad said.
Could you imagine? Hey, you want more targets? Callers on Sports Talk Radio can't even get the guy's last name right. You want more targets? And once they learn your name, we'll get you more targets.
He seemed to be a good sport afterwards. He tweeted through it yesterday.
His dad?
Yeah, a couple days ago. He realized he was causing a stir, and he came back, and he was very very nice about it.
Well, there's only one thing you got to do to get out of here. If you demand a trade, we're not getting rid of you. You make a movie of all the highlighted passes that they're supposed to be missing, we'll get you right out of here. You'll be gone on the first thing smoking. Tony and Talmadge. Tony, hello.
Hey, Ken, haven't you been disappointing kids for a few days anyway?
The hell are you talking about?
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Promises.
The kindergartners. I forgot.
But, no, Amari's been pretty consistent. We got to give him, like, another game or two before we really make that decision, I think. We've seen him do some really awesome stuff.
I'm glad to hear that, because in real time, and I know things change in real time, and we get proper perspective on things here, Tony. In real time, the moment that pass bopped off his hands and ended up in the hands of a Raider defensive back, there was a lot of, well, do you not want us to ask him a question about that? Like, the media started to kind of fire back at some of the fans going at them. The fans were going after him. It was pretty ugly. Now that we've kind of calmed down. I mean, I like Amari Cooper, and I have a great deal of respect for him. I know that these things don't end well, or they never end. But also, I do think it's a little bit too early. And Tony, thank you for the call. I think it is too early for any of that stuff to be happening. I think it's too early to talk about him losing my trust. Seriously, losing my trust. It's not good. It hasn't been a good start.
But there's no way you feel about him the same way today that you did when he had how many yards? Almost 200 yards with Joe Flacco.
Well, how could I? He was really, really good in that game. He hasn't been really, really, really good in these games. So, yeah, I would have to. 216-474-0092. Wayne in Cleveland. Wayne, you're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing okay, Wayne. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, he always keep my trust, man. But the thing about it is, and I told you guys that going to the beginning of the season, after those trade rumors was all up in the air, he don't care, man. He don't care no more. He's a free agent, man. So he can go anywhere and play after this year. And you know, it might get paid. He might not. He don't care no more. And I blame all that on the Browns organization. They shouldn't allow that trading room to get out.
Well, wait a minute. He's a 30-year-old wide receiver. So he's not going to get the money he seeks on the free market.
He's performing. That's all that matters. This guy is performing. Bring somebody else in there. What if the chump from San Francisco had came here and wouldn't have produced the same?
But
probably put the same numbers as Lamar.
Wait a minute, Wayne. The whole reason it's a question is because he's not performing right now.
That's because of right now. And there's a reason why. He don't care no more.
So he's just going to go out there and not care and drop balls and not care about any of this stuff for the rest of the year?
Can. You know they do that.
But that doesn't – they do that.
They play hurt. They play hurt. They say they got hamstring injuries.
I know that, Wayne. I know that. But doesn't that hurt his business, his personal business? Someone's just going to pay a 31-year-old wide receiver who had bad numbers last year?
What will end up happening is, because I've seen it happen, what will happen is, as time goes on, if they don't trade him, then he'll start maybe performing going towards the end of the season.
The best thing for him right now, God, I don't want to put this in there. Thank you for the call, Wayne. I don't want to put this in his mind. The best thing for him right now would be to do what Davante Adams does and demand a trade. Say he wants to seek a trade. That if he doesn't want to be here, if he's not happy and he doesn't want to be here, say you don't want to be here. Come out publicly and say you want to be traded.
Because it'll make things easy.
It'll make things horrible. But it's better for his personal business because Davante Adams didn't play on Sunday. So he had no chances to make anybody doubt if they would want Davante Adams or not because of the high price. Now, I think there's a huge, huge cap hit if they were to trade Amari Cooper so he could wish for a trade in one hand and you know what in the other. But that's the best thing for him to do is to come out and ask for a trade or and to do the whole I'm not available. I have a hamstring or whatever Davante Adams has going on. It would be the best thing for him in his personal business. It's a terrible idea for us as Browns fan, and I don't like saying it, but that would be the best idea for him. Because if you just go out there and keep dropping passes and acting like you don't care, according to what Wayne is saying, you're not going to get paid next year. You're a 31-year-old wide receiver then. Why am I going to pay you what you want to be paid as a 31-year-old wide receiver with bad numbers? You already had your $100 million payday. We're done here. I might give you a one-year contract worth a little bit, but we're not giving money to 31-year-old wide receivers. And that's Kenny Carmen. If he were the general manager of the Browns, the Bears, the Buccaneers, it doesn't matter.
He also, they restructured his contract, so either way, I mean, they're still going to be kind of paying on him, you know, as far as the salary cap goes the next few years.
I did say it wasn't real, right?
Yes.
Okay. John Wadsworth, hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Kenny, you got to watch that baseball game. Raise these kids right. It's the playoffs, man. Like, they're going to miss things growing up for the playoffs.
But the Rockets have a chance to go to the playoffs themselves. Third and fourth grade, fifth and sixth grade. We're out for blood. We're playing for keeps.
Come on, man. It's the Guardians, Kenny. We've got 70 years between world titles. We got to get this train rolling.
That's a good point. That's seven times longer than any of these kids have been alive.
Exactly. And as for Amari Cooper, I hate to say this because I've really loved him in the last couple of years. I have lost faith in the guy only because we kind of saw this behavior in Dallas. We kind of saw it in Oakland. Like, this is what he does. It's like when he's happy, he's infallible. And when he's unhappy, he pouts. And this is kind of, you know, the track record for him. So, yeah, I'm worried about it. I would trade him.
John, thank you very much for the call. Well, I almost think if we want to do dollars and cents, it's almost an impossibility. However, I don't want to say like he's pouting or anything like that. I think that it has been a distraction. I don't think he started off the season that well. I think he can get it back. He just doesn't look like himself right now.
And did he missing training camp as much as he did and the mandatory, the OTAs, all that stuff, him missing what he missed, do you think that had something to do with it too?
I will talk about that when we come back, but I'll tell you this right now before we leave on this segment is that that touchdown, as your brain works faster than real life, you start to believe two things. One, I was happy the Browns were about to take the lead. Two, I felt relief for Amari Cooper. because I knew it was going to look great. Mitch, please.
All right, guys, yesterday's edition of the Burns and Gambo show out at Arizona Sports 98.7. They had Diamondbacks owner Ken Kendrick on yesterday. Listen to this. He took full responsibility for the offseason signing of pitcher Jordan Montgomery, and he did not hold much back in saying, yeah, guys, that one's on me.
If anyone wants to blame anyone for Jordan Montgomery being a Diamondback, you're talking to the guy that should be blamed, because I brought it to their attention. I pushed for it. They agreed to it. It wasn't in our game plan. You know, when he was signed right at the end of spring training, and looking back in hindsight, a horrible decision, you know, to have invested that money in a guy that performed as poorly as he did. It's our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint, and I'm the perpetrator of that.
Bravo! Bravo!
Do you wish, that is amazing.
Do you wish more owners, like, can you imagine
if
Jimmy Haslam got in front of the podium, and he, by the way, to his credit, he faces the music at the end of every year, and, you know, he doesn't go into this kind of detail, but can you imagine if after Johnny Manziel, he would have gotten up there and said, I was the perpetrator. I was the one. Boy, that would change a lot of the talk in this town about some of the decisions made over time, would it not?
He is still a member of the Diamondbacks, is he not?
He is currently on the roster, and he has a $23-ish million option for this year, which he is expected to take. So they're probably going to put him on the block here soon.
Oh, after saying something like that about me, I'm going to take every penny.
You know, he also on that same radio interview. Gosh. This must have been must listen. And when does that happen with the Diamondbacks? But he talked about the doubleheader and what a disaster it was for baseball, because they can't say they were snubbed. They didn't control their own destiny. So when you allow others to do that, you know, you allow circumstances like Major League Baseball deciding to do this doubleheader at the end of the year when there were other days they could have got it in. They knew there was going to be bad weather. It wasn't like this hurricane came out of nowhere. But because of that, there was no reason for those teams to go all out to try to pull off a sweep, which was the only way that the Diamondbacks would have gotten into the playoffs.
That is beautiful audio.
Go ahead, Mitch. What do you got?
I was going to say, somebody put up a post yesterday of the Diamondbacks blowing that 8-0 lead against the Brewers, I think within the last 2 weeks of the season, in reference to how they did not control their own destiny on Monday.
216-474-0092. I appreciate the honesty. I really do. That'll get the fans on your side. I don't know if it's best for business. If I were a team that he were trying to trade them to, you're going to pay about $22 million of the 23.
There's a reason why guys don't do this. In the moment, though, I think it's there's got to be something.
Yeah, but to your fan base, it's like this guy wants to win.
Right,
speaks volumes to your fan base.
Think about, I know it's a totally different situation. Dan Gilbert and the letter outside of Cleveland was like the dumbest thing an owner's ever done. People, and remember, they're like, you're never going to get LeBron James. Like, that's it. Now, he ended up coming back, and they let bygones be bygones. But in the moment, for Cleveland fans, who was more popular than Dan Gilbert than when
Nobody.
He wrote that letter?
Nobody. I remember that after the day after he wrote, I was on a different station. I was on an AM station. I was so happy reading that letter. I was fist pumping reading that letter because I was so hurt by the decision. I was fist pumping reading that letter. I was so excited about that letter. And then I remember, I'll never forget this. I watched Stephen A. Smith say how stupid of a decision it was. And ultimately it was not. Because he came back, I can't say it was stupid, but it was not a smart decision. And how nobody was ever going to play in Cleveland ever again. They were never going to be there. They were never going to be there as free agents, anything like that. I remember I spent the whole next, because I was on in the afternoons, the whole next day. I mean, I ripped LeBron. I ripped Stephen A. Smith. I talked about how great of a thing this was for Cleveland, how these outsiders don't know anything. I mean, I was just so viscerally hurt by everything going on. And so to me, like at that moment, Dan Gilbert was a hero. And he's clearly an imperfect owner. But when you know an owner wants to win without a shadow of a doubt, and you can't question whether or not he wants to win, like Dan Gilbert has proven it over time. Like we say, your best thing about owners, like, well, they want to win, but they also want to turn a profit. They'll win if it helps, which is true. when you know an owner wants to win, I think there's no better feeling. There's also a scary feeling because if you know an owner wants to win and they care about winning and they really don't care that much about the bottom line, they tend to get involved and they tend to make horrific decisions like this Jordan Montgomery decision. That's part of the ebb and flow of it. Because if they become a fan too, they can run the thing right into the ground. There were other things that got Dan Snyder booted from the league. Dan Snyder's personnel decisions are the same decisions Bob and Mayfield would call in with if we were doing Washington, D.C. football radio. You know what I mean? Like, that's the same things that we would do. A fan right now would bench Jameis Winston or would bench Deshaun Watson and put in Jameis Winston. They would have benched him after the third game of the season. You can't really do that. And I do think, you know, and when people do, and I do respect their opinions for it, I just disagree because I have to respect their opinions. If you and I were both football guys, we'd say, no, we can't do that. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. But in the end, like if Deshaun Watson ends up doing poorly and they end up having to put in Jameis Winston or somebody else or anything, like that person ends up being right. That person ends up being 100% correct. And then they said, well, if we would have done this, this, that, and the other, then we could have really got going. Like that's the scary thing about being a fan and the inexact science of it. And when you're an owner and you're a fan, that can be a scary thing. Also, I got a text. I have an update. I do think that the time away did affect Amari and the timing. I think the time away with Deshaun Watson did affect Amari and the timing. Two, got a text from the head coach. My boss.
Not your boss. It's volunteer
Owen,
position.
I think it's very clear. You know me. You know I'm a control freak. It should be very clear that I say he's my boss. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up embarrassing myself.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.